Bibles, go to Philippians 13. Will we all stand up just one more time, please? If you don't want to stand up, you don't have to, okay? But let's all stand. I'm going to say a prayer real quick, if you don't mind. Heavenly Father, I pray that you let me decrease as you increase. I pray that you speak through us. Lord, I pray for the hearers tonight, that you'd open their hearts and minds to what you want to say and how that it affects them, how it hits their mind and their heart. Let them go out better than they can you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. There's no formality to it, one way or the other. It's just a new message for me, and I wanted to pray. And I want God to speak. Hopefully, you'll get what I got out of it. But sometimes, when you first preach a message, Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, you're trying to get all this stuff that God places in you out through here. And that's no easy task. There have been messages I've been preaching since I've been started preaching that I'm just now getting good at preaching because the details are still coming out, okay? So this is the first time through this, but I believe, how many of you as Christians tonight want to finish well? Me too. I don't really care. I mean, gosh, I shouldn't say it that way. You take me when I say that. I care how you start because there is a start. You got to start. In Christ Jesus, you start, right? There is a start, and there is a middle somewhere, and there is a finish. I've ministered to men ever since I've been saved. I've been ministering to men in some capacity or another, and one of the biggest things that men have to learn to do in 2018 is finish. It's just when you say you're going to do something, do it.
Amen.
Just follow through and finish. I appreciate the amen. But I want you to say, you know, if you say, hey, you tell your wife I'm going to do this, or if you tell your mother you're going to do this, you tell somebody, finish. It's one of the most awesome things you can do, because it bolsters your name. It bolsters your credibility. It bolsters what people, your testimony of who you are. Amen? Listen, I'm just preaching to you. When I stand before God, when He says, enter in my good faithful servant, I know He's talking about Christ Jesus. But I don't want to stand there empty-handed. Man, I don't want to stand there and say, well, you know, I just got in by the skin of my teeth. Some will. Amen? Because it's by grace. That's fine. But, I want to finish well. Amen? And that's where we're going to get at tonight. Hopefully you take away, and I want you to hear this. You'll just let it permeate. When I mean permeate, let it sit there and marinate in your mind. It's a Wednesday night crowd, and I wanted to save this message till Sunday, but God wouldn't let me. Never does, because I don't even know if I'll be here Sunday. Amen? Yeah, we don't know that. And this might what some of you need for me. Amen? So we're going to try to make it, if we possibly can, to verse 14, okay? I hope we will, because that's where the meat of this message is. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me in need, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. I love how the writer, Paul, starts this out. It says, finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord. When you can't rejoice in anything else, you can rejoice in the Lord. Good or bad, up or down, in or out, you can rejoice in the Lord. Amen? You can be sick as a dog. You can be as healthy as a horse. You could be running the race, or you could be crawling into bed and never be able to get out again. You could be living your life to the fullest, or you could be taking your last breath. You can rejoice in the Lord. Amen. If you're saved, you know that. If you know that you're saved, you know that you can rejoice in the Lord, because your end is not here. Praise God. Ain't that good? Ain't it good that Paul is writing these letters from imprisonment to a church that loves him and encourages him and supports him. But he wants to support them with his words when he can't support them in any other way. You know, God, ain't that cool? Philippians wrote, a lot of times Paul's imprisonment or in the process of being in prison, and you know what? He's writing some good stuff to them. Man, ain't it good when somebody that has it worse than you do encourages you? Man, that hurts, don't it? You're all bitter and all ticked off and mad and saying your thing, and somebody goes, man, God bless you, have a good day, or hey, man, just smile, I love you, man, I'm praying for you, and you find out, man, they are going through all kinds of craziness. You're sitting there going, man, if I had that on my plate, Would I be telling everybody else that? I hope so, right? Let's go on. Beware of the dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. He said, beware of these people who come and they try to tell you to be circumcised. And that means nothing to us, does it? American Christianity, what does that mean? Well, listen, this is what it is. He says, beware of the evil workers who will come back into your church and tell you, yeah, you got Jesus, but you need some more. Amen? You got Jesus, but you need some more. No, you don't. No, what I'm talking about is you need to fall back under the law, being under the circumcision. Maybe I'm not saying that right. Maybe I should pronounce it right and say it to you this way. You don't go back under the law at all. None. You don't get circumcised. You don't follow the Ten Commandments. You don't do those. Those things are not there for you anymore. They're written upon your heart. But listen, I want you to hear what he's saying. He said there's going to be some evil workers that come in and say, Jesus just wasn't, he was good, but wasn't good enough. And you don't have to literally say that to mean that. I wish I had about an hour to expound on that. I really don't. But I've grown up in church enough, in some legalistic churches. Jesus is good. But you have to do all this other stuff. That hurts. You know who that hurts? Young Christians and people who don't know Christ. Young Christians come in and go, I can't, I'm just not good enough. And truth be told, the person that was probably trying to hold them the standard of all that legalism is probably one of the worst offenders of all. Amen, preacher, that's good preaching. Some of the worst offenders are the people who try to hold other people accountable. Who try to pull other people over all the time and tell them what they're doing or what they're not doing. Those are some of the worst offenders. So he said, beware of them. I love what he says in verse 3, for we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. You know what he said? He said, I want to preach so bad, but I want to stay calm at the same time. You know what he said? He says, listen, we worship Christ in the spirit, and the spirit says we can't do anything. No, you didn't hear what I said. Paul, not me. Not Kevin G. Shelton. Paul said, I have no confidence in my flesh. You know how big that was for him to say that? He was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. There's not a person in here, and I guarantee there's not. There's not a person in here that could hold a candle to Paul's religion before he got saved. You wouldn't hold a candle to him. You wouldn't even come near close to how religious he was. You couldn't. First of all, you're not of the right stock. Amen? You're not Jewish. Amen? Let me show you. Listen to what he says. I have no confidence. There's nothing I can do. You know how long that probably took him to say? You know how long he had to be broken by God to be able to say that? Because if you've ever been around legalistic people, you always try to conform to go back to legalism, trying to make yourself right even though you know it don't work. Paul being a Pharisee of the Pharisee, his whole life is what you do or what you don't do. Now God has just totally set him free and sent him to the Gentiles. That's fun. Okay? Watch this. Listen. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath wherefore he might trust in the flesh, I more. I love the old English, but I want to say it this way. If there is anybody in this place that could say, maybe I could trust in my flesh, it'd be me. You hear what he's saying? He's saying, if there was any chance whatsoever, I could probably say it, but I can't. He's not boasting. He's just telling you that all the legalistic stuff, useless. Y'all good? What's this? Circumcised the eighth day. Nobody in this room. Amen? Because that's a Jewish custom. Amen? You got more healing principles in your body on the eighth day than any other time in your life. Did you know that? Ain't that funny that God told him to be circumcised on the eighth day? Because on the eighth day you have more healing principles. Your body starts healing automatically. Pretty neat. I just thought it was neat. Of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, amen? The right-handed warriors, amen? Remember Jehu, the left-handed warrior? Never mind, I'm sorry. And Hebrew of Hebrews is touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteous, which is the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. He just run a list on the who's who of I was a religious zealot. None of it. None of it will do anything for you. Whew. You know how hard that is? How many of you have a hard time with that still today? Okay, when you come to church, do you have a hard time with what you put on? I wonder if I don't know if this is okay. Yeah, well, you know why you deal with that? Because there's a legalistic set there. Amen? Wonder what other people think. Legalistic set. Huh? So I don't deal with that, brother. All right, good. Great. But it's a monster to kill. Amen? Because by nature, I'll tell you this, by nature, your natural man, which is wicked, always wants to try to make himself right when there was no way. Amen. Pretty good. That's why when somebody tells me, brother, I'm going to do better. I'm going to try better. I'm trying to be better. I'm trying to get into church. I'm trying to read my Bible. I'm trying to pray. Stop trying and let Jesus do it all. Stop trying. Because what you're trying is an insult to God. What you're saying is, I don't want to trust in you. I'll trust in myself to do it. And your failure. Man, that's just straight, ain't it? I love that. I love kind of being straight about stuff. Yet doubtless, let's go to verse 7 and we'll go 8. What things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. Verse 8, yet doubtless, and I count all things but loss for excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I am suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. He says, all this is garbage. All this is mess. Everything I've lost, everything, listen, God, have you ever ran into somebody who knew you before you got saved and they talk to you like you're pitiful? Oh, man. There's the Christian guy. He can't go to the movies anymore. Oh, there's the Christian guy. Can't go to the bar. Christian guy. Can't cuss. Some of you don't. No, I'm sorry. Christian guy can't go out and have a great time. I look at him and go, are you out of your mind? I'm having the time of my life. I'm having the time of my life. I have more fun now than I did when I was lost. When I was lost, I was having phony fun. I had to act like I was having fun when I couldn't pay my bills because sin destroys your credit. Sorry. It does. You got to pretend like you're having a great time and you go home and you burn incense and everybody thinks you're cool. You're not burning incense because you're cool. You're burning incense because the only way you got anything in your house burning, any light whatsoever. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's phony. I like getting up the next morning and remembering the whole story. Amen. What happened last night? Ah, we was having the time of our life. 1 o'clock we was doing this, 2 o'clock we was doing that, 3 o'clock we was doing that. Anybody else? Well, from 2 to 5 I was hanging on to the porcelain God, praying for this to never happen again, and I'd never do it again if somebody would just get me away from here. I'm preaching. You just don't want to act like you know what I'm talking about. That's real stuff. Oh God, I'll never do this again. If you'll get me out of this floor, I'm just miserable. Mm-mm. That's it. Yeah, I'm going to do it again when you feel better. And you're going to tell everybody it was a great, we had the best time of our lives. Right? And I just want you to know this. He says, listen, there is no pitifulness in Christ Jesus. I'm living the best life I have. And can I go a little bit further? I think Colossians says it best. My life is hid in Christ Jesus. Amen? See, I'm not even living the fullness of my life yet. All those people that think you're pitiful too, one day when the trumpet sounds and we appear in the eastern sky, you're going to be like, I hate to do the whole John Cena thing, but can you see me now? I've referenced every bad thing I can reference tonight. I'm sorry in that. Verse 9, and he found him in not having mine own righteousness, and being found in him not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That's the best kind. Amen? And be found in him not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Let me tell you something. If you're found with your own righteousness, he will say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. I'm better than so-and-so. You don't have to be. You can be better or worse than so-and-so. Hell's going to be filled with good people. You've heard that your whole life. Hell's going to be filled with people who did not believe in Jesus Christ. Period. There's no doubt we're all guilty. Heaven is going to be filled with some of the most vile, wicked people that ever walked the face of the planet. You don't like to think of that, and I don't either. But as we're speaking, there are people going into the worst of the worst places and asking some of the worst people if they will accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they do, and they go to heaven, while some grandmothers who sat on benches for hundreds of years and never accepted Christ go into eternity lost. You say, how could it be? Well, it's the only way it can be. Your righteousness is nothing. It's filthy rags. Heaven's going to be filled with a bunch of crazy people that you never thought was going to be there. And as you're going down those streets and looking at all those people, when you're under your breath, you're going, I can't believe they're here. I know. I seen her Facebook page. But the thing about it is, they're all over there in the corner going, oh my gosh, he's here. One of you wild ones in here should have said, amen, brother. But oh, I got the spiritual giants. I forgot who you were. Verse 10, that I may know him. Verse 10, I love this. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made comfortable unto his death. He said, I want to know him. Listen. That's an intimate saying. I want to know him. That means I want to be so close to God that I want to know the good, the bad, and the ugly. I want to know how he feels. I want him to get inside of my mind and let me know what he's excited, what he's happy with, and what he's displeased with, and what it makes him angry about me. But I want to know more about God. You know, ever since I got saved, I just want to know more about him. I'm serious. I said, Lord, I want to know more. I'm always excited when I see something else in the Scriptures that he reveals, or something that the Holy Spirit deals with my heart about something and lets me read something. I'm like, wow, Lord, I didn't even know that about you. Amen? That's how good it is. Listen to what he says. In the power of his resurrection. Did you hear that? See, if you ever, I've told you this a million times, I'm going to tell you this more. If you ever realize that you're a part of the resurrection already, you'd be a hard person to deal with. You wouldn't be so afraid. You wouldn't walk around in fear. You'd just say, I know what's going to happen. One day the trumpet's going to sound, I'm going to be in the resurrection. That's it. I'm living now. While I'm living now, it's for your gain. If I pass away, that's my profit. Amen? That's it. That's the only two ways it is. For me to live right now is gain for you. Amen? And for gain for anybody that I'm going to minister to and be around, and I'm going to try to interject peace, love, joy, happiness, and the gospel into their life. But if I'm not around, guess what? If I'm going into glory, don't feel sorry for me. That's where I want to be. Amen? I know I've got this bully pulpit right here for a moment. I will say this. Hurt people all the time. Billy Graham, all of this, or Billy Graham that. Listen, guess what? Billy Graham preached his whole life. I'll guarantee the one thing that Billy Graham will never do in heaven, he'll never preach another message, and he'll be glad of it. Because everything he preached was preached by faith. And that all ended by sight. And somebody said, listen, I'm not being mean. I'm not being mean-spirited when I say this. Somebody said, somebody, what it was like when Billy Graham entered in heaven? Just like it'll be when you go. I don't know if y'all get a hold of that dose right there, but I got it. Because it ain't about the people that did it here. It's about the one who did it up there. There's only one man. Listen, God, I don't even want to stay right here. I'm trying to get somewhere. But the Bible says, the church was present. And they said, is there anyone who can open the last scroll? Gah! None worthy. Hey, Billy, you want to touch this? Can't. Billy Sunday, you want? Can't. Anybody else want to touch the scroll? But the slain Lamb of God. The slain Lamb of God. The one who's still bearing the scars. The one that's only got... We all get new glorified bodies in heaven, but he's still tainted with scars. He still has the markers of the cross on his body. And the whole church sang, whoo! He's worthy. He's worthy. Number one song in heaven is, he's worthy. Man, don't that excite you? Don't that do something for you? There's that group called the Casting Crowns. All the great saints of God will have crowns, and that, what do we do when we get in front of Him with them? Man, I don't even want to preach right here, brother. I'm not trying to preach this. I'm supposed to be on down the road by now. But we take off the crowns. God's good. Oh, look at my... When the real king shows up, we just take him off. We throw him at his feet and we... Oh, God. Ain't not one of us get here without you. God, man. This will be heavier than what they thought. Ain't you glad God just changes your mind? I wanted to preach something else, but I'm glad I didn't now. Y'all ready to learn how to finish well? God, it took us that long to get here. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. That verse 11, let me get that point before we get our 3 points that we're trying to get in tonight. How many points would that make? Does anybody count? If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. What he's saying is, he's not saying I've earned the resurrection. This is what I said earlier. I don't want to show up empty-handed. Don't show up to heaven just saying I got saved back in 19 whatever or 20 whatever. Stand there saying, hey, since I got saved, I tried to headlock a couple people into this deal. Amen? I don't mean that. Just share your passion with them. And just share what you're good at. God gives you a sphere of influence. Use it. Amen? There's people in this church, I know you, I've talked to you. You use your skills and your talents and your abilities well to present the gospel. Well. What you do is you say, yeah, I'll come and do that for you. And while you're doing that, you're interjecting Christ into their life. Amen? That's what it's meant to do. Amen? I got to work. I got to work somewhere. But guess what? If I have to work somewhere, guess what? I've got this little sphere of influence. Amen? Never mind. Some of y'all are so good at that. And I know God appreciates it. Y'all ready? Y'all ready to learn how to finish well? Y'all pray for me that I get this part right because this is important and y'all need it. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehend, but this one thing I do. Go back up to 12. Sorry. See, I'm already... Y'all, somebody didn't pray. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. We have to learn the discipline of following. Amen? the discipline of following, intensely pursuing the calling of Christ and living the life of until we obtain victory. Okay, y'all got this? Let me slow it down. We have to learn the discipline of following. Paul said, I am following after, I'm chasing after Christ. I'm trying to apprehend. You might want to write this one down, Dukes of Hazzard fans. I am in hot pursuit of that thing that apprehended me. I'm going after that thing that got a hold of me, and I'm following after it with an intensity. Amen? I'm following after it with an intensity nobody criticizing is going to stop me, amen, from obtaining that thing which is called victory in the end. We are coming from victory to resurrection. Do y'all understand? We're coming from victory to death. Do y'all understand that? Have we obtained victory in Christ Jesus? Victory was sealed at the cross, right, and for our lives. So all we're doing is we're headed to victory. We're fighting from victory. That's one thing you always got to remember in your head. Hey, the devil tells you, you're going under, you're this. Wait a minute. We've already won. These are just skirmishes that are left over until the Lord comes back. Y'all good? That's good, right? So you need to learn the discipline of following. Now this next thing is going to blow your mind. And I hope you get this because, I don't know, maybe I'm the only one that needs it, but I love this one. Okay? Listen. Verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehended it, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching for unto those things which are before. You must learn the discipline of forgetting. Whew. No, gosh. I've made a note. Carmen, listen, it's a good note. Refusing to be paralyzed. Whew. Get it? Refusing to be paralyzed by my past. You know how long that takes you to get over that? You get saved, people say, I remember who you are, you've done this. Especially your mother, brother, dad, sister, aunt, uncle, cousin, anybody related to you. Right? You get paralyzed when you get around them of your past. You've got to learn the discipline of forgetting. Forgetting those things that are in the past. You say, why would I forget them? Well, the number one reason why you should forget them is He forgot them. Y'all about to bring the redneck preacher out of me right there. Rendering complacent by the past. Listen, refusing to be paralyzed or rendered complacent by... God, never mind. Am I wasting my time? I hope not. Two things there. Right? Paralyzed because somebody don't agree because your lifestyle didn't add up into the profession of being a spiritual person. Whoop-de-doo. Get over it. And let them get over it. And if they don't get over it, fine, move on. Forget about it. You don't love people. I love people, but guess what? I can't stay for people. I can't stay for one person, that person, this person. I've got a calling. I'm focused on where I'm going. Amen? You hear what I'm saying? So I can't. Here's what you do. You want a remedy? Is there any way I can make it better? If they say, yes, you can make some restitution. You say, okay, let's work on it. I'll make payments. I'll do something. I'll do whatever I messed up. I'll say I'm sorry. But here's what you can't do. Well, I want you to come by here, and I want to wear you out every time I see you about what we did. Forget about it. I ain't doing that. That ain't me. I'm sorry. I can't. I'm not stopping. I'll be paralyzed. Amen? You understand? You understand what I'm saying? We do this, right? Get busy serving God. You ain't got enough time to worry about what everybody thinks about you. If you stick around worried about what everybody thinks about you, you won't ever get anything done. You think, hey, listen, I hear people all the time. You didn't say that, Charlie. You know what I do? I forget it. I put it in the rearview mirror. I hit the gas, and I'm gone. I'm going after the people I'm trying to get to. We've got broken people in this community. We got people that will come to this church and won't come to any other church. So you know what I say? I don't care. I look like I do. I care. I'll pray about it. But guess what? If you want me to live in the past, we did this, we did all this in the past, this already happened, this happened, whatever. Go on. I'm not paralyzed. But listen to this. You don't know where we really live at? It ain't somebody else's deal. It's us. We play it over in our mind, and we become complacent. I'm not good enough. It's not because somebody else said you weren't good enough. It's because you keep replaying in your head that you're not good enough, and therefore you become stagnant. You sit there and you're like, well, complacent. I'm not good. And the only person that's keeping you from doing any better in Christ Jesus or any other area of your life is just really plain out you. You need to forget about who you think you are and go on. You need to stop playing the tapes of who you were when you did this wrong and you did that wrong. You need to say, I did all that. I'll take credit for it, but God forgive me, and I'm not going to be complacent. I have but a vapor to spend here. I'm going to live for God. Guess what? Your life is but a vapor. And it's going to be gone before you know it. I guarantee if you ask Brother Earl right after this class, you say, how did life go? How did life go? I guarantee you his answer. It went faster than you think it does. Amen? Is that kind of close? Earl, is it kind of close? Kind of put you on the spot there. I'm sorry. Y'all ready? Got one more and we'll be done. I promise. Discipline of following. Discipline of forgetting. Amen? Learn how to follow. Learn how to forget. Amen. These are the three F's. Amen? Yes. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Y'all ready for this? Striving for the single goal. Striving for the single goal. The one thing unto completion. Undeterred by obstacles or taunts from the crowd. It's one thing. I'm going to go after Christ with all my might and all my strength. Y'all remember we did a class? I'm about to close right here. Come on, get a song, Scott. Do y'all remember? I did a thing here one Sunday. I made Gary come up here, and he thought he had a whole pitcher of Kool-Aid. Does anybody remember that? I had him. I made him hold it way out there, and he's kind of getting shaky. And I made him try to pour it into a teacup. Y'all remember that? And I had people on this side and people on that side. And what was he trying to do? He was trying to fill that cup up. He thought he had a big bunch of red Kool-Aid. And I was going to make him pour it in here on this floor. Didn't I have you up here, Sharon? Didn't I? And he was looking at him like, dude, you pour that cup. This is going to be a mess. And I know you wasn't really upset with him. You was thinking, this stupid pastor of mine, he's going to get it. Right? But what he had to do is he had to focus, right? He had to focus on what his main thing was. His main thing wasn't his disciples at that time, and his main things weren't the people that they were coming to get him. His main thing was fixing Malchus's ear, putting that ear back on. He had to perform that last miracle to get that done, right? So guess what? That's what you have to do when you're serving God. You got to realize what is your main purpose. Focusing on Christ. You're going to run your race with Him as the finish line. Amen? Does anybody ever remember elementary school? Man, one of my favorite days of elementary school. They made you get on the wall. Everybody's hand on the wall. Right? You're going to run down to the other end of the gym and back. Right? On your marks. You're thinking, all right. Get set. Right? Go. I don't know if I won or lost the race, but I was running like crazy to the wall, and I turned back around, and I'm running back to the other wall. I've hit some kids. I ran over some kids. I tripped. They tripped. We've done it all. But guess what? We still got right back up and kept running to hit the wall because somebody said, we're going to finish the race. Guys, We're running this race for Christ.
Amen.
Just keep your eyes focused on Him. Listen, you've been called. You've been called to do certain things in ministry.
Amen.
Do those things. Do them. And your obstacles are getting in your way. Yeah, of course. Yours, theirs, and definitely Satan. He's going to throw some obstacles. That's funny. I've been preaching for a long time now. People go, I can't believe we're having troubles. What? What? We've got people who the devil and the world had already considered they were in hell. You think the devil's mad? You don't think he's going to come up here and set some obstacles up? Of course he is. Are we going to stop? No, you just learn how to get over the obstacles better. That's what you just got to learn how to crawl over them and crawl under them and crawl around them.
Yeah.
That's it. How about the crowd? How about the people that are breaking you with their words? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words, they shall never hurt me. Whoever wrote that was a liar. Hey, man. Whoever wrote that was a liar. Some of you women, some of you people in this room already know that. Hey, punch me in the face. Stop yelling at me and cursing me and giving me all this grief. I would take that any day over a verbal beat down. Amen? Yeah. Guess what? Don't listen to them. I'm about done. I promise, God, I'm about done. I wrote you a 66-page book, a love letter to you, that you don't have to listen to the people. Listen to what I say about you. Amen? So you got to learn. Amen? Right on. See, it's the first time I preach this, so I got to go back up here and look. You got to learn how to follow. It's a discipline. It's a discipline. Because guess what? You'll get off track, get off path if you don't have the discipline to follow. You got to learn how to the discipline of forgetting. Sometimes you got to have a short memory in ministry. You know who I like best? God, I'm about done. Get your guitar. Yeah, I like Jesus best, but in sports, I like defensive backs. Defensive backs are these little cocky guys that's got to guard the receiver, and sometimes they'll give up big plays, and they talk and jump the whole time. And as soon as the next play comes, even they just gave up a touchdown, they'll be right up in there and they're like, I'm going to stop you, I'm going to get you, I'm going to do it. You're like, man, that dude just got burnt. Guess what? He had to have a short memory. Amen? Listen, as a Christian, we fail, we make mistakes, we do some stuff wrong. We got to have a short memory. Go to God. God, forgive me. God, help me. God, strengthen me. I didn't do great on that, but Lord, I'm going to do better next time. I'm going to have a short memory. I'm going to learn how to forget. I'm going to have the discipline of forgetting. And that focus. It's a discipline of focus. Golly, I wish I could take a foul. I've been in churches and ministries where we're about to have revival. We're about to have a great move of God, and we lose our focus. Because the devil is good at right when you're about to do something great with God, he's showing you something right over here. And the next thing you know, you're dealing with this over here, and God never intended you to do that. He intended you to keep on going and let that situation work itself out. Amen? Can I preach? Melissa, thank you. Melissa said I could, so talk to her at the church. I'm just preaching everything I know. When David was running after the men who had captured the women, they captured their whole families, their women and children, and they had run away, right? And the men were considering killing him. Amen? Y'all remember that story? Right? And guess what? David said, he called for the ephod. I'm like, why am I preaching this? He called for the ephod, and what he did is he encouraged himself in the Lord. Because sometimes you can't have everybody else encourage you. Somebody else can't. You got to say, put the ephod on and say, all right, Lord, it's just me and you, amen? All right, guess what he did? He took after them, right? He took after them, and he said, the Lord said, we will overcome them. Well, they come up to a place called the Brook Bezor, amen? They come up to the Brook Bezor, and there was a couple hundred men that couldn't make it over the Brook Bezor. They said, we can't go no further. This is as far as we can go. We got to stop right here. You know what David said? Y'all stay here. We're going over, and we're going after. See, he didn't get focused on the people that were trying to hold him up behind the river. Amen? And sometimes people will try to hold you up at a place where you're not supposed to stop. Let's stay right here. Let's stop right here. Let's stay right here. And this is the way we did it. This is the way we always do it. This is the way we want to do it. This is the way I want to do it. That's not the way God wants to do it. Amen? So guess what? They said, you guys stay right here. This is a good story. They jumped over the brook, went after them, and got their women and children and came back, and the spoils. When they got back, there were some men in David's camp, right? They said, let's keep the spoils. And they said, no, we're going to separate the spoils with us and the ones who didn't make it over Brook Bezor. You stupid people. They couldn't make it. They're the ones that fouled us up. They're the ones that almost cost us our women and children. No, next time. The next time, when they think about giving up, giving in, because they'll remember the spoils of this, then they'll go over Brook Bezor. They'll go over their hurdle. They'll go over their obstacles, and they won't think their obstacle's too big. They'll know their God's bigger than their obstacles. Let's all stand. Hope you take away something from this message tonight.